Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program showcasing radio productions from independent community stations across the country, bringing local stories to a national audience from a different location every week. I'm Dori Smith of Talk Nation Radio in Storrs, Connecticut. We're syndicated with Pacifica Network. Today on Sprouts, we discuss breaking news in the U.S. and Pakistan with journalist Rahimullah Yousafzai, senior editor at The News, a newspaper in Peshawar, Pakistan. The so-called Times Square bomber, Faisal Shahzad, originates from Peshawar. His family still lives in the region. We'll hear what they and others are saying about the arrest of Shahzad and discuss ongoing tensions in this city near the Afghan border, where there is, at least for now, relative calm after a period of intense terror attacks left hundreds dead and wounded.
Is there in Bridgeport right now, but as Tom just said, the suspect, Faisal Shahzad, also had some connection, at least we're being told, to an address in Shelton.
We're also being told it's been vacant for about a year, so let's send it out to Fox 61's...
Here in Connecticut, members of the media are still in a frenzy to find even the smallest new detail about Faisal Shahzad, who has lived here for nearly a decade in relative obscurity before nearly causing harm in New York.
Nicole Jacob, she's live outside of that home right now in Shelton. Good morning, Nicole.
The Times Square bomb scare.
I have never seen any sign of activity in that house.
Pakistan's foreign minister believes the Times Square bombing is a reaction to U.S. drones targeting Taliban followers.
This is retaliation, and you could expect that. Let's not be naive. They're not going to sort of sit and welcome you, sort of eliminate them. They're going to fight back.
Internationally, there are millions of people right now raising questions about this man who tried to set off a car bomb in Times Square. Bloggers are sifting through a myriad of Facebook pages, only some of which actually represent true photographs, and posts by Faisal Shahzad and his American wife, Huma Mian. And each new major news report reveals perplexing facts about this case of a homemade bomb that didn't go off, a license plate that didn't match the vehicle, a would-be bomber that seems to have almost gotten away in traffic and then almost gotten away on a plane to Dubai. He was, according to CBS News, on a Homeland Security watch list after entering the U.S. with $80,000 in cash. Still, he had managed to purchase a Kel-Tec rifle. How, some have asked, could one would-be terrorist get so lucky so many times? Rahimullah Yousafzai spoke with us by phone May 5th as news reports were just coming in about the Pakistani family of this would-be bomber, Faisal Shahzad. Some residents of Peshawar have expressed suspicion that a deeper intrigue may be going on.
Some are even saying that this seems to be some kind of a conspiracy by the U.S. to malign the Pakistan army.
Rahimullah Yousafzai writes detailed news reports on the tribal regions where he's based. He has been described by journalist Robert Fisk as the most courageous of journalists. Rahimullah Yousafzai, thank you for joining us.
Hello, thank you very much.
We're speaking with journalist Rahimullah Yousafzai, resident editor of The News in Peshawar, Pakistan. That's the name of the newspaper, The News. As you know, a lot of attention being paid here in the United States to Pakistan after the attempted attack on Times Square that Faisal Shahzad has been arrested for and, we understand from authorities, has admitted. What is the reaction in the Peshawar region? His family is from there. His father, a former Pakistani Air Force official. What are people saying?
The family belongs to a village near Peshawar where I am based. But the family had left the village years ago, and now it was living in Peshawar in a very rich area. The family is well-to-do, and the father of Faisal Shahzad, as you said, was a senior officer in the Pakistan Air Force. He was an Air Vice Marshal. His name is Baharul Haq, and he has retired from the Air Force. But a number of relations of Faisal Shahzad were serving in the armed forces, in the Pakistan Army, Pakistan Air Force, and he actually is highly educated. So, you know, people here actually are surprised that this highly educated young man living in the U.S., how did he turn to militancy? What happened? And I was talking to a friend of the family. He was saying that the last time he saw Faisal here in Pakistan, he was growing a small beard. And he says, I asked Faisal, whether this beard is for fun or for religious reason. And he said he didn't get any answer. So people were surprised that, this man was becoming religious or that he had turned to militancy. In the village itself, where the family used to live, people have been telling the media that they can't believe this. Some are even saying that this seems to be some kind of a conspiracy by the U.S. to malign the Pakistan army, because the father of Faisal is a retired army officer. So, there is disbelief, but I must tell you also that people are worried. They think there would now be more pressure by the U.S. on Pakistan, and Pakistan army would have to go into North Waziristan. There will be more fighting, more deaths and destruction, more displacement of people. Already we have 1.6 million displaced people due to the army action in the tribal area. So people are living in misery, and these camps for the displaced people actually are becoming nurseries for a new generation of militants. So, the government lacks resources. There's no clear policy to rehabilitate the people who have suffered due to the military action and militancy. And we have a big challenge on hand. I don't think Pakistan has the capacity to try to tackle these problems.
And which political movement did Faisal Shahad's father, Bahrul Haq, favor?
Bahrul Haq, actually, his reputation is that of a very liberal and secular man. One of his friends said that the father, Bahrul Haq, seldom offered his prayers. So it is amazing that the father is secular and liberal, not religious, while the son become very religious. We have seen this happening to many people who live in the West. They become religious. The other day I was seeing two pictures. It was titled Tale of Two Cities. One picture was of the Pakistani city Lahore. There, couples were walking in the marketplace, hand in hand. They were wearing jeans, girls wearing jeans, young girls, which is not common in Pakistan. The other picture was in England, in the UK. And there were women who were fully covered, and there were men with long beards. They were walking the street. It was amazing, that there are maybe Pakistanis or other Muslims living in the West, and they have grown beards and they have covered their faces. While here in Pakistan, you can see couples walking hand in hand and wearing jeans. So this is an observation that people who live in the West, somehow many of them turn to religion, and they want to protect their faith because they think that living in the West, their faith is under some kind of a threat. So I think that in Pakistan, we have a wide choice of political forces. We have got secular parties, leftist parties, we have got Islamic parties, we have got nationalist parties, and most Pakistanis support the secular party. They have been voting for secular parties. Religious parties have not fared well in Pakistan in the elections. And there is great opposition now to Taliban. People don't like them to impose their way of life on the Pakistanis. So I think that this sentiment, this opposition to Taliban, to extremism, this needs to be taped. This needs to be exploited. And that can only happen if there's a credible leadership in Pakistan. The Pakistan leadership is generally very corrupt and incompetent. So people become fed up with the government, with their ruling parties. And some of them turn to militancy because they believe that militants have the answer to Pakistan's problems. The problems here are unemployment. The problems here are lack of rule of law, corruption. These are the problems. These need to be tackled. There is so much of unemployment. and they can easily fall prey to the message coming from the militants. We need a credible government. We need a system of government and justice which is responsive to the needs of the people. You know, we need a change from the system of government we have right now. We have got a president who is very unpopular. He is known as a corrupt man. We have got an army which has been ruling this country for half its life. And whenever the army is in power, Pakistan suffers. We are facing an energy crisis, you know. There is no electric power for hours, you know. We sleep at night without electricity, you know. And it's so hot here. So how can they work, you know? I don't think that the rulers have tried to solve these basic problems of the people, you know. More electricity, more jobs, better education, better health care, rule of law. These are the problems which need to be tackled.
You're listening to Sprouts, radio from the grassroots, a weekly program bringing you local radio productions of national interest. I'm Dori Smith of Talk Nation Radio in Storrs, Connecticut. We're speaking with Rahimullah Yousafzai of The News in Pakistan.
As if it were a terrorist attack. Police say the vehicle identification number on that SUV, that little plaque on the dashboard, was removed. They did track down the previous owner of that license plate. He said he dropped off a car at a Connecticut junkyard just a couple of weeks ago. Now police are trying to get in touch with the owner of that junkyard to try and determine who was driving that SUV.
That was a clip from KPAX Missoula, Montana, Carter Evans in Times Square. As we researched the story of 30-year-old Faisal Shassad, we tried to imagine how this bright, resourceful Connecticut resident might have chosen Kramer's Used Auto Parts as a place to obtain an illegal license plate. Naturally, he could have seen their scrapyard or parts store or an ad for it. And when we searched randomly for ads about ways to replace an automotive title, we came across a page featuring a commercial for Kramer's. Above their video ad, there was a kind of advice column that began, "Have a cruddy situation? Have no title? No owner? A car has been purchased from a little old lady for $300, but the title was not with the car. Quote, I have the car, she has the title, it says. I want to be able to use the car as it is without having to sell it for parts or change bodies, but I don't know how I can get a title for the car. The advice posted near the Kramer's Used Auto Parts commercial states, just contact the Department of MDMV, Motor Vehicle, and just tell them you have lost the title. Don't argue with her, just say you have lost it. If there is a fee for the replacement title, just pay it so you can close this deal. This may be how Faisal Shassad found Kramer's, though police have the company under investigation and may be looking at others. We contacted Kramer's for comment, but received a colorful criticism of the media and the comment that anyone who buys a newspaper today is crazy. This is Kramer's commercial.
New alternator, new starter, new battery, new steering rack and pinion, new valve, new camshaft, and a new air conditioning compressor. Your total is $7,245.29.
Next time, call Kramer's in Stratford. With thousands of used and refurbished auto parts in stock, Kramer's is sure to have what you need at prices you can afford.
According to the New York Daily News, owner Wayne LeBlanc said, quote, we get robbed quite a bit, adding that license plates have been snatched before. The Associated Press reported that Faisal Shassad claimed to have acted alone. U.S. and international investigators are now trying to understand the meaning of his actions by studying the details of what he did and how he did it. Did he in fact train at an Al-Qaeda training camp, as the press has indicated? If so, was it in North or South Waziristan, where Rahimullah Yousafzai has been studying local and foreign militant groups espousing diverse causes?
North Waziristan is one of the 7 tribal regions in Pakistan, and these areas are on the border with Afghanistan. Due to the instability and war in Afghanistan, the Pakistani tribal areas have also been affected and radicalized. The Pakistani government has a small presence in North Waziristan, but the area is largely controlled by militants. These are Pakistani Taliban who are aligned with the Afghan Taliban, and they've also given refuge in this area to some people belonging to Al-Qaeda. They include Arabs, and there are also some Uzbekistanis who actually are affiliated to the Islamic movement of Uzbekistan. So we have these different groups of militants operating in that area, and the Pakistani military launched some military campaigns against the militants some years ago, but for the last almost 2 years there has been a ceasefire and a peace accord, and the army is present there in the forts and barracks, but there is no military action going on now in North Waziristan. But that now looks very much possible because the Pakistan government is under pressure from the US and from the Afghan government to take action against the militants, because these militants are threatening not only Pakistan and Afghanistan, but also recently they threatened attacks in the US.
Well, you have written that this pressure from the US on the Pakistani army is to get them to try to keep foreign militant groups like the Haqqani Network from using North Waziristan to attack Afghanistan, and that's something the Haqqani Network denies, you have said.
Yes, actually this is a faction of the Afghan Taliban. It's called the Haqqani Network because it was founded by a veteran Afghan Mujahideen commander called Jalaluddin Haqqani. So after him, the group is called Haqqani Network. He is now an old man, but his son, Sirajuddin Haqqani, has taken over. He is the commander. In fact, the family migrated to North Waziristan in Pakistan in the early 80s. The family belongs to Khost province, neighboring Waziristan in Afghanistan. And the family has lived there all these years. This was one of the most important Mujahideen commanders who fought against the Soviet occupying forces in Afghanistan in the 80s and 90s. But then he joined Taliban. He also became a minister in the Taliban government. I mean, this is the elder Haqqani, Jalaluddin. And now he's old and ill, but his son is about 30 years old and he is the commander. So there are reports that maybe some of his fighters actually present in the Pakistani tribal area of North Waziristan. The family denies this. The Pakistan government also denies this. They are saying that only the women and children and the old people from the Haqqani family are living in Pakistan. And they say that the fighters aligned with the Haqqani network are in Afghanistan fighting the US-led forces. That is the issue now between the two countries. Americans would like Pakistan army to take action against the Haqqani network and to capture the top commanders if they are hiding in Pakistan. But Pakistan has not moved against the Haqqani network because Pakistan believes that right now they cannot take action against the militants in North Waziristan because all of them will join hands, the Haqqanis and the Al-Qaeda and the Pakistani Taliban, and then Pakistan army, about 150,000 of them are already fighting in different tribal areas, and they think that they don't have the resources and the manpower to open a new front. So they want to first deal with the other tribal areas and other militants and then finally move into North Waziristan.
There have been reports that a man named Massoud had been killed, but then too that an attack recently in the last few days against a CIA compound was attributed to Massoud. Can you enlighten us as to whether or not in Pakistan there's an understanding about this person?
Hakimullah Massoud, he is the leader of Pakistani Taliban, His group is called the TTP. The founder was Baitullah Masood, who was killed last year in August in a U.S. missile strike in South Waziristan. And now Hakimullah has taken over, but there were reports that he may have been killed in another U.S. missile strike on January 14 this year. The U.S. intelligence agencies and the Pakistanis believed that he has been killed, but now there are reports that he is alive. And in fact, he has issued a videotape recently in which he is seen talking to the camera, and he, in the same video, threatened attacks in the U.S. So this man seems to be alive. He is still active, and that will inspire his followers. He actually is the most powerful militant commander in Pakistan. His area, South Waziristan, was captured by the Pakistan Army in a big offensive which began in October last year. But he and his men escaped, and now they're hiding in North Waziristan and other tribal regions, and they have returned in some numbers to attack the Pakistani army in South Waziristan. So this is an ongoing fight, and it will take time. It won't be easy and quick, because the militants are still present in different tribal regions.
Talk about your piece on the Punjab Taliban. They kidnapped two men that you describe as former ISI officers and CIA people.
One of the former officers of the Pakistan Intelligence Agency, ISI, Khalid Khwaja, was killed by his kidnappers last week. And he was accused of being an agent of CIA and ISI. The other official who was kidnapped is Colonel Imam. He's still alive, but he's in the custody of these kidnappers. And then there's a British journalist. He's of Pakistani origin, Asad Qureshi, and he's also in the custody of kidnappers. They were actually taken hostage on 26th March. And the kidnappers, who belong to an unknown group, Asian Tigers, but we all know that they are members of a Punjabi Taliban group called Lashkar-e-Jangvi. So they are demanding the release of three Afghan Taliban commanders who are being held by Pakistan government. One of them is the deputy leader of the Afghan Taliban named Mullah Biradar. And the Pakistan government is not going to release them. They're very important people. So one of the hostages has been killed. The life of the other two is in danger. And this actually is one of the many groups operating in North Waziristan. And they seem to be uncontrollable. They are very angry with the Pakistani intelligence and army, because in the past, maybe they were allies, but now the Pakistan Army and the intelligence service, ISI, are trying to eliminate these militants. So it's an open war. That's why these former ISI officers were kidnapped. One of them was killed. And I think that this shows that it's not going to be easy to fight these people in North Pakistan, because there are so many groups. They're all very well entrenched in that area. The U.S. has been a major player in this part of the world. In the past, it was actually helping the Afghan Mujahideen and trying to defeat the Soviet forces in Afghanistan. And now, it is itself fighting these militants. And it has been actually assisting Pakistan now, and also the Afghan government, to regain control of these areas which are beyond the control of the Pakistani state. The U.S. Sometime has also been a destabilizing force, because it has been supporting military regimes in Pakistan, and that actually annoys the Pakistani people who want democracy. Also, the U.S. has been helping in the past these fundamentalists, the Afghan Mujahideen who were fighting the Soviet forces, and those Afghan Mujahideen, at least some of them, have joined Taliban, and now they're fighting the U.S. Also, the U.S. is now using its drones to attack the militants in Waziristan, especially in the North Waziristan. They were able to kill some of the militants, some belonging to Al-Qaeda and Taliban, but they also killed a number of civilians. And that also actually is creating anger against the U.S. and also making it difficult for the Pakistani government and army to win the sympathies of the people against the Taliban. So, you know, in a way, the U.S. policy works both ways. It is helping the Pakistani state with weapons, with money, with resources to fight the Taliban, but some of the U.S. actions is also causing instability in the area.
We were hearing devastating reports of violence in Pakistan, especially in the tribal regions and Peshawar. What is it like there now, and have any arrests been made in this violence?
Yes, mercifully, there has been no bombing now for the last few weeks. But before this calm, we had a series of suicide bombings, not only in Peshawar, but also in other parts of the province. That was very unnerving because that happened after months of calm and peace. So people are again worried. Some suicide bombers have been arrested, but the army and the government have failed to eliminate these gangs who actually train the suicide bombers. This has been happening now for the last 7 years. We have these bombings, military operations, militancy. Some success has been achieved in trying to diminish the strength of these militant gangs. But, you know, there has been no big success yet, we can say. It's still a long fight. As I said, you know, there are many reasons that people would turn to militancy. And as I said, unemployment, lack of rule of law, and also many people are unhappy that Pakistan is an ally of the U.S. And why the U.S. is not liked, I said earlier, the U.S. has been supporting the Pakistani military rulers. The U.S. support for Israel is mentioned as one of the reasons, main reasons why people don't like American policies. These issues are there. I don't see that these issues would be resolved in the near future, and that's why we don't really expect any big improvement in our lives in the near future.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That's it for Sprouts. You've been listening to Pakistani journalist Rahimullah Yousafzai. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the country, bringing you local radio productions of national interest. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. Thanks to Michael Yoshida at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to rebroadcast on Sprouts to showcase it nationally, contact Air Traffic Controller Ursula Rudenberg at ursula@pacifica.org. URSULA@pacifica.org. I'm Dori Smith of Talk Nation Radio, syndicated with Pacifica and airing weekly on various U.S. stations. Thanks for listening, and see you next week on Sprouts.